So, thinks I, I'll go and search them rooms. Upstairs the hall was dark, but I found the Duke's room and started to paw around it with my hands. But I recollected it wouldn't be much like the king to let anybody else take care of that money but his own self. So then I went to his room and began to paw around there. But I see I couldn't do nothing without a candle, and I dasn't light one, of course. So I judged I got to do the other thing, lay for them and eavesdrop. About that time I hears their footsteps coming and was going to skip under the bed. I reached for it, but it wasn't where I thought it would be. But I touched the curtain that hid Mary Jane's frocks, so I jumped in behind that and snuggled in amongst the gowns and stood there perfectly still. They come in and shut the door, and the first thing the Duke done was to get down and look under the bed. Then I was glad I hadn't found the bed when I wanted it. And yet, you know, it's kind of natural to hide under the bed when you're up to anything private. They sets down then, and the king says, "Well, what is it? And cut it middling short, because it's better for us to be down there whooping up the morning than up here giving them a chance to talk us over." "Well, this is it, Capet. I ain't easy. I ain't comfortable. That doctor lays on my mind. I wanted to know your plans. I've got a notion, and I think it's a sound one."
"What is it, Duke?"
"We better glide out of this before 3 in the morning and clip it down the river with what we've got, especially seeing we got it so easy. Given back to us, flung at our heads, as you may say, when of course we allowed to have to steal it back. I'm for knocking off and lighting out." That made me feel pretty bad. About an hour or two ago, it would have been a little different, but now it made me feel bad and disappointed. The king rips out and says, "What? And not sell out the rest of the property? March off like a passel of fools and leave $8,000 or $9,000 worth of property laying around just suffering to be scooped in? And all good saleable stuff, too." The Duke, he grumbled, said the bag of gold was enough, and he didn't want to go no deeper. Didn't want to rob a lot of orphans of everything they had. "Why, how you talk," says the king. "We shan't rob 'em of nothing at all but just this money. The people that buys the property is the sufferers, because as soon as it's found out that we don't own it, which won't be long after we've slid, the sale won't be valid, and it'll all go back to their estate. These here orphans will get their house back again, and that's enough for them. They're young and spry and can easy earn a living. They ain't a-going to suffer. I just think, there's thousands and thousands that ain't nigh so well off. Bless you, they ain't got nothing to complain of." Well, the king, he talked him blind, so at last he give in and said all right, but said he believed it was blame foolishness to stay, and that doctor hanging over them. But the king says, "Cuss a doctor, what do we cure for him? Ain't we got all the fools in town on our side, and ain't that a big enough majority in any town?" So they got ready to go downstairs again. The Duke says, "I don't think we put that money in a good place." That cheered me up. I'd begun to think I weren't going to get a hint of no kind to help me. The king says, "Why?"
"Because Mary Jane'll be in mourning from this out. And first, you know, the nigger that does up the rooms will get an order to box these duds up and put 'em away. And you reckon a nigger can run across money and not borrow some of it?"
"Your head's level again, Duke," says the king.
And he come a-fumbling under the curtain 2 or 3 foot from where I was. I stuck tight to the wall and kept mighty still, though quivery. And I wondered what them fellas would say to me if they catched me. And I tried to think what I'd better do if they did catch me. But the king, he got the bag before I could think more than about a half a thought, and he never suspicioned I was around. They took and shoved the bag through a rip in the straw tick that was under the feather bed, and crammed it in 1 or 2 amongst the straw, and said it was all right now, because a nigger only makes up the feather bed and don't turn over the straw tick only about 2x a year, and so it warn't in no danger of getting stole now. But I knowed better. I had it out of there before they was halfway down the stairs. I groped along up to my cubby and hid it there till I could get a chance to do better. I judged I'd better hide it outside of the house somewheres, because if they missed it, they would give the house a good ransacking. I knowed that very well. Then I turned in with my clothes all on, but I couldn't have gone to sleep if I'd have wanted to. I was in such a sweat to get through with the business. By and by I heard the king and the duke come up, so I rolled off of my pallet and laid with my chin on top of my ladder and waited to see if anything was going to happen. But nothing did. So I held on till all the late sounds had quit and the early ones hadn't begun yet. And then I slipped down the ladder.